And hello and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio, where we feature and highlight companies that do business in Gwinnett County and the men and women that lead them. I'm your host, Mike Salmon, and we're broadcasting live from the Gwinnett studio of Business Radio X at Office Suites Plus at Satellite Place in Duluth. Joining me today as my co-host is Andy Lowe. Since this is the first ever Gwinnett Business Radio show, I'm putting Andy in charge of making sure I hit the right knobs and spin the right buttons and don't embarrass myself with really bad questions to our guests. Andy, thanks for coming, and I know you are the man for the job.
Well, I'll tell you, I was a little more excited about this thing until I heard you go on air just now, and I'm like, man, I thought I had a voice for radio, but this is professional sounding over here.
Oh, flattery will get you everywhere.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
We have some wonderful guests in the studio today, Andy. Let me introduce you to them from the Gwinnett Chamber of Commerce. It's one of the largest chambers in the Southeast, and I'm excited to have with us today from the chamber, Vince DeSilva. He's the Senior VP of Member Services. Vince, great to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Also from the chamber is the Director of Membership Services, Matt Bemister. Matt, thank you for coming in today.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Brandy Swanson is the Executive Vice President for Sandler Training by Simon Incorporated. Sandler Training is a worldwide leader in sales performance and customer service training, consulting, and coaching. Brandy, I look forward to finding out more about what you do and what makes Sandler so successful.
Thank you, Mike.
Also in the studio with us today is George Lewis, the president of Taylor Construction, one of the Metro Atlanta's largest and best-known remodeling companies. George, welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Well, since this is the first Gwinnett Business Radio show, and since the show features companies that do business in Gwinnett County, I felt it was only right, only appropriate to start off with the Gwinnett Chamber of Commerce. And Vince and Matt, I mentioned at the top of the show that the Gwinnett Chamber is one of the largest chambers in the Southeast. The last thing I read is that you were the sixth largest chamber in the Southeast. Is that still current, or are you even bigger than that now?
I believe we're still currently at the sixth largest chamber of commerce in the Southeast, and continually to stay ranked as one of the top three metro chambers in the United States, which I don't know if people are very aware of, but we are one of the top three metro chambers.
What is the number as far as number of members, and what is it that makes you so successful in getting those members?
Well, currently we have over 2,300 member companies, and 30% of that membership is based outside of Gwinnett County in the Atlanta metro area. But certainly focusing on the number of programs and events that we provide for our membership, as well as the impact of the community and some of the public policies initiatives that we focus on to help make Gwinnett great and beautiful.
Well, that's an interesting thing that you said. Back me up there and take me through that. So you said that you have a large membership that's mm-hmm. outside of Gwinnett County.
Sure.
So what draws people in that want to be part of this chamber that don't reside in Gwinnett?
I really believe it's the regionalization focus that we have as a chamber, focusing on some of the industries that are not currently in Gwinnett County, but certainly the companies that we're bringing in, whether it's manufacturing, logistics, IT companies, major employers within Gwinnett County, has it all us to really kind of branch out within the Atlanta metro area as well as the state of Georgia, and certainly within our involvement with the state, local elected officials. We've kind of branded ourselves as the engaged chamber, and certainly one of the representations of Atlanta Metro.
And these guys aren't just members, but they're actually participating and showing up for things mm-hmm. and actually an active part of the chamber as well.
Certainly. I mean, with the 250-plus programs and events, it can be anywhere between 50 and 60 small business owners to 175 to 200 C-level executives networking together and certainly staying engaged and informed on what we're providing to our membership.
Vince, to me, I know you're not the president of the chamber, but to me, you're kind of the face of the chamber because you go to every chamber event. Usually, you're the guy behind the microphone emceeing everything, so I know you're very comfortable behind a microphone now. You guys always have so much going on, whether it's the business after hours, whether it's the recent chamber challenge, the golf and tennis tournament we had at Sugarloaf Country Club. It seems like you really encourage your members to be very active.
No, I think that's exactly right. As far as them staying active, we do a good job of making sure that our representatives of the chamber communicate with our members, on a weekly, on a monthly basis. And that has enabled us to continue to have the member representation that we have looked for over the course of the many years. And I think, moreover, it's the programming that we have. Matt had mentioned that before. The programs enable us to continue to have the members engaged at the level that they want to be engaged at. And what I mean by that is they're finding value in what our programs are bringing to them.
Well, can you elaborate a little bit here and maybe remove some misconceptions too? Because, you know, you see this all the time. People think, you know, I started a business, I need to join the chamber. And in their mind, it's a place to go sales pitch, right? I'm going to get business because I'm going to go to the networking events and I'm going to pitch. But that's really not how you build your business in a chamber. How do you guys suggest members to really take advantage, build their business right, and get the full benefit of what the chamber has to offer?
I think if you come in with the expectation of cultivating relationships, firstly focus on building the alliance among people that you're trying to create relationship with. That's going to be first fold, the opportunity to get your name out there and start creating the relationships needed. Secondly, you got to have a little bit of a hunter mentality, not going to specific events that may not be a benefit for you right away, but there might be some relationships with that you might extend your bandwidth among the chamber. And so consistently attending, certainly getting an opportunity to have a direct message about what your company offers or what you're trying to deliver, and getting people to recognize that starts to build the referral system, the opportunity to get additional opportunities to stand in front of folks, as well as, you know, build your business.
How would you guys describe the value of the chamber in Gwinnett County? I mean, how do you, you know, someone says, oh, I don't need to join the chamber, I don't need to be a part of that, I don't need what they offer. How would you counter that?
Well, I believe it starts with our board of directors. It's composed and representative of all of the major institutions in Gwinnett. It's a central organization that brings all core functions and values of Gwinnett together. And what that means is you're going to see our county chairman, Gwinnett County superintendent, cities, community improvement districts, both the major hospital presidents, all major Gwinnett County institutions, Gwinnett Tech, Georgia Gwinnett College, Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine, representatives, regionalization of businesses that represent our board of directors. And what that provides is an opportunity to have one voice, all the powers that be sitting at a table and making sure decisions that are impacting Gwinnett are going to be beneficial, certainly allowing us to grow and have a dynamic pro-business community in Gwinnett.
And I was going to mention, you know, of course, you want to make sure that it is a pro-business chamber, and also that fiscally it's a very strong chamber. How would you rate the fiscal stability of the Gwinnett Chamber and your future?
Well, you know, looking around, Georgia and the United States, our county and the Gwinnett Public School Systems have a AAA bond rating, which is pretty unique in the fact that we continue to have one of the lowest unemployment rates in the state of Georgia, as well as the Atlanta metro area. And as well as our economic development issues and initiatives that are impacting Gwinnett County has allowed us to have an international award-winning program throughout the world. And that was recently, I believe, what was that?
The IEDC.
The IEDC was recognized the Partnership Gwinnett Initiative for Gwinnett County as being one of the number one ranked economic development programs.
I mentioned the Chamber Challenge recently. Yeah. That's always a favorite among me, whether you play the golf or the tennis. What are some of the other events that you have? That you kind of touched upon some of them. But personally, which ones do you guys enjoy the most? I mean, Vince, I mean, I think you're out there swinging the clubs. You probably enjoy that one the most.
I do. I actually like the Chamber Challenge, and I play in a lot of golf tournaments.
And how'd you do this year?
Not so well. I would not say that I am the most avid golfer out there, but I enjoy it.
You did say in the banquet afterwards it was the most successful Chamber Challenge ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, honestly, we sold out a lot quicker than we normally do for this event, and I think a lot of it is proximity location to the Chamber. One, you have Sugarloaf Country Club, the prestigious Sugarloaf Country Club, and there's a lot of people that have never played that course, so that's an automatic draw for some of our members to come to that. But folks that have been to the Chamber Challenge in the past, or the Fall Classic that we call it today, understand that this is one of the greatest networking days that you have. It starts early in the morning and goes into the early hours of the evening, and it's an opportunity to connect with some people that you don't see on a day-in, day-out, you know, week-in, week-out basis.
What's up next? What's the next big event that you have on the agenda?
We have the Healthcare Excellence Awards that are coming up, and this is a new program that we launched last year, and it has a lot to do with our thriving healthcare community here within Gwinnett. As you know, we have two very large hospital systems in Gwinnett Medical Center and Eastside Medical Center. But in addition to that, healthcare seems to be a driving force behind the growth within Gwinnett. We're bringing in a lot of companies here to Gwinnett that are healthcare oriented, and a lot of the changes that are coming out in healthcare are around healthcare technology companies. So we continue to drive those companies here to within Gwinnett as well.
Brandy, I'm going to bring you in on the conversation. Brandy Swanson, you're actually a member of the chamber. You're with Sandler Training by Simon Incorporated. Talk about the experience you've had with the Gwinnett Chamber of Commerce.
I've had an excellent experience with the Gwinnett Chamber of Commerce. I'm actually probably one of their biggest raving fans. It's a great opportunity to meet people. It's a great opportunity to we met at the Mike. I met you at the tennis outing. So you meet people that you would not otherwise cross paths with, and it's not necessarily that you would do business with that person, but it's who they know and who they're connected with, and to be able to reach out and make good business decisions.
Mm-hmm. Matt, you started with the Chamber a couple years ago as mm-hmm. a regional account executive, now Director of Membership Services, working alongside Vince. What's that like, working with Vince?
You know, it's
pick on Vince Day, by the way.
I don't think you get this opportunity very much, but having an opportunity to work for the Chamber has been great. I actually moved from North Carolina down to Atlanta, Georgia, and lived just outside of Suwannee for a bit and attended one or two young professional events at the Chamber. But coming back into Atlanta and being able to say, how am I going to create relationships? How am I going to get that next step job? And my background kind of transitioned to working for an opportunity to work for a Chamber, and I knew Gwinnett was very strong, but working with Vince and working with our staff is great. We just got a lot of great folks at the Chamber, and he keeps me on my toes. He's learned, giving me a lot of opportunities like this show today, so it's every day is new, and I enjoy that.
Vince, it seems like you really enjoy what you do as well.
I love it. I mean, honestly, wouldn't change it. If I was independently wealthy, I would do this for free. I mean, that's how much I love doing what I do each and every day over here. And truthfully, Matt said it the best. It's our staff. When we come in, we're all very passionate about what we do for this community that we serve. And it doesn't matter whether it's public policy, education, economic development, or business development. We're going to be there for this community and to help them thrive.
Okay, for listeners who are listening to us live right now or who may be listening to the broadcast at a later date, how do they get in touch with the Chamber? How do they find out about membership?
It's certainly our website. Great way to check out really who we are and what we do within the community. Certainly you can reach out and contact us at 770-232-3000. Ask to speak with somebody within the membership department. You can contact myself or Vince.
All right. Andy, you don't even live in the area, and I know after hearing all that, you're ready to join.
Well, actually, that's something that is probably an unknown fact. I do live in the area and have been involved in the Gwinnett Chamber pretty heavily through my business career. Sandy Richardson is one of my all-time favorites. Everybody's a fan of Sandy, though, right? I mean, you just can't help but love her. She's a wonderful face. I don't want to take this away from you, man, but Matt, but Sandy's the face of the Chamber, I have to say.
We'll agree to disagree. I go with Vince.
Well, I'm not going to tell you which side.
Of course, Vince is in the room right now, so I'm going to say that.
Well,
anyway.
I understand that, but yeah, I just think she's a prettier face. Let's put it that way.
Matt, Vince, thank you so much for your time this morning. Looking forward to hopefully a long relationship between Gwinnett Business Radio and Business Radio X and the Gwinnett Chamber for years to come.
No, thank you so much for having us, and we'll be back anytime you guys offer.
Okay, we're going to talk to one of your members, as we already found out. Sandler Training by Simon Incorporated has become the choice of business owners and executives in the Atlanta area when it comes to training and developing their sales and customer service teams. They are passionate about building a skill set that helps people become better in their careers, and this in turn makes them more confident and allows them to be more successful. And with that, Brandy Swanson, the Executive Vice President of Simon Incorporated, in layman's terms, what is it that you do? What is it that makes people successful?
Well, Mike, we typically work with businesses who either they're lawyers offices or CPA offices that they got in their business to be a CPA or a lawyer or cabinet maker, and they're not real sure how to develop their business. And other times it's large corporations who have sales teams, whether it's manufacturing or the chamber or whatnot. They're just trying to develop and grow their businesses, so we work with them to help them grow that business.
And is that really what they're trying to achieve by hiring your company, that you're going to be able to train them and get them to meet their goals?
Yes, we have a training section, and then we also have one-on-one coaching and consulting, because a lot of times you hear something in a classroom setting or you go to some sort of seminar and you hear something, go, oh, I'm going to try that out, and you go test something out, and you're like, that didn't quite work the way I thought it was going to. And that's where the one-on-one coaching comes in, because you can put that to that person's personality type, because the way I might say something and the way you might say something would be very different. And we're able to put that into their own personality and make it work for them.
Well, Brandy, I want to test you for a few pointers here today, because since we have the Gwinnett Chamber here, it brings to mind that elevator pitches are considered an essential cornerstone of any sales professional to be able to talk about who they are and what they do. And it is a professional arena going to one of the networking events at Gwinnett. I mean, you have well over 100 people that often show up on these Friday morning networkings, mm-hmm. and you get as little sometimes as 15 seconds to stand up and talk about what you do, not a 60 second like happens at some chambers. 15. You got to be precise. You got to be compelling. What are some of the secrets to doing that, Brandy?
Well, we actually teach our clients to, when they're doing their elevator pitches, it's not about their features and their benefits. It's about developing, we call them pain statements, or things that cause customers to want to buy from you. So trying to, you know, if I'm talking to a insurance agency, then my pitch might be a little bit different. Or if you're in a whole networking group, you're sort of scattering out different things that are pain points of why people normally buy from you. So what pains do you solve that would make them want to come talk to you?
Today's environment, you know, the way the economy is, everybody, of course, wants to increase their sales. I would think someone like you is in high demand. How do people find out about your services? Do you go out there networking, trying to find services, or are people knocking on your door now?
You know, it's interesting. A lot of people said, oh, I bet you have a tough time finding new clients. Well, you know, with the economy being what it is, but actually business is growing more now, because when the economy was booming, sales were just coming in the door. And now that sales aren't just coming in the door, people are looking for ways to grow their business, because they're having to go out and work for it. So people aren't necessarily beating down our doors, but we do go out, we do network, we do a lot of talks at Rotary Clubs, Kiwanis Clubs, business associations. We do a lot with the Chamber. We are a sponsor of their Business Institute, and mm-hmm. did basically a year-long program on networking works and teaching Chamber members how to go about networking.
Sandler Training, what's the history behind the Sandler Training? How long has it been around? And what makes it different maybe from some other companies that may say, hey, we train sales staffs as well?
Sandler Training is actually a worldwide organization. I think they're in like 30 different countries right now. And it was a gentleman from Baltimore that started the company when he lost his family business and went into sales training and developed this program. And I'm sorry, I forgot where I was going on.
Well, I guess the history of Sandler.
History, yeah.
And then what separates you maybe from other companies that do the same thing? Or claim they do the same thing.
Right, right. Well, a lot of companies will do seminar-type things where you go to day-long programs and they throw a lot of information at you, whereas ours are broken down into hour-and-a-half-long training sessions. We work on behaviors. We work on attitudes and techniques. So it's not just one, you know, learning a new technique and then taking that and working with you one-on-one to make sure you implement those behaviors and those techniques that you've learned.
Brandy, what are some of the top mistakes that you see salespeople making on a regular basis in today's market?
You know, I would probably say the biggest mistake that people make is not looking at the behaviors that they're doing. They mm-hmm. get their paid time versus no paid time mixed up, and so they're doing things like checking their emails and doing paperwork when they should be doing networking and cold calling and things of that nature. I would say that's probably the biggest mistake I see that salespeople make.
Yeah, it's probably a symptom where I hear this a lot from salespeople. They talk about how I'm busy. I'm so busy. But if you really break down the efficiency, there are oftentimes a lot of gaps. How do you help companies and individual salespeople identify those gaps and close them?
that's really where the one-on-one, we teach the concept of paid time, no paid time in the classroom setting. We give them the framework for that. And then working with the sales management team and the business owners to help each individual develop their own, we call it a cookbook, but a list of behaviors that they're committed to getting done in a week's time, and then helping them make sure that they're doing that during the right time of day.
Brandy, you've been involved in business growth and development for about 18 years now. What excites you most about what you do?
Actually, a couple of things excite me the most about what I do. My passion is helping people and businesses grow. I really get excited when I see someone struggling and not going and being the best that they can be, and being able to work with them and help them reach those goals on a daily basis. So in my previous job, when I actually hired Sandler as an insurance agent, my sales team, we were bumping the bottom. I had one particular salesperson who I really should have let him go. He was closing about $1,500 in revenue a month, and really the minimum was $3,000, and still that was just to keep your job. And when we went through the Sandler training and he started closing, after about 4 months, after he got the concepts and really started practicing some of the behaviors, the attitudes, and the different techniques, he went to closing 10,000 to 8,000 on average a month. And it really made a huge difference in his life. So that's one thing that excites me. But the other thing is the core values and that we have at Sandler. It's going out and also giving back to the community. One of the things that we do is we work with nonprofits. They're, of course, struggling during this time. And for nonprofits, we actually let them participate in our program at cost, and which is very low, a very low cost considering what most people pay. And they're taking advantage of that and being able to help grow their nonprofits as well.
Now, do you have to be a nonprofit or just not be making a profit?
You have to be a nonprofit.
Okay, all right.
There are a lot of for-profit companies out there that are nonprofits.
Exactly. I'm thinking about at-cost training.
Yeah, at-cost training. No. You have to be a nonprofit like the Gwinnett Children's Shelter or Rainbow Village. The American Cancer Society, Annandale, they're all nonprofits that we've worked with.
Well, that's an interesting thing to talk about nonprofits for a second, because what type of sales activities are those guys engaged in? Because some people think, oh, a nonprofit, they just sit around and wait for the phone to ring and people donate money. But that's not true. They have to be proactive in their business. What are some of the things that they need to do to be successful that you guys help them with?
They're actually no different than any other business. They're just not out to, they're out to give back to the community. Like Rainbow Village, they're taking in homeless people, teaching them how to be self-sufficient and self-sustaining, and they're counting on the donations from different corporations and different community service organizations like Rotary to help them meet those goals. And we work with them just like we would any other sales team to teach them how to do their 30-second commercial, how to ask for those donations, how to communicate. A lot of people, they've never taken a listening class. Most of the time when I ask that, if you say, hey, have you ever been taught how to listen? Most people say no. And so those are some of the things we teach our salespeople, and we teach the nonprofits as well, is how to listen and how to make a connection and bond and build rapport with people.
Take us through the process from A to Z now. You've identified maybe me as a company that needs some help, and I realize I need some help, so I've reached out to you and said, Brandy, please help me with my sales, with my training, and so forth. What's next? You sit down with them, you have a consultation, you figure out what the problem is. Just how does that process all work?
Well, it's different for different companies, but in general, I would say the majority of our clientele, they participate in what we call President's Club, which is a 1.5-hour training session and then the one-on-one coaching. But then we also work with the management team to help them figure out different things with individual sales people so that we can work on those particular items that person is struggling with within their organization. We also help with their sales meetings that they have, and to make sure that those are what they should be and they're getting the best out of that.
We did not realize this when we scheduled our guests for today, but apparently one of your clients is in the room here, and it's actually the Chamber of Commerce. And Matt has been one of your clients in the past. And Matt, your thoughts on Sandler Training. How did it help you? How did it help the Gwinnett Chamber of Commerce?
Well, I actually had an opportunity to come in through the foundations where they basically give you the nuts and bolts of Sandler so you understand the concepts, and Brandon touched on the techniques and behaviors and attitude and all that. And so once you kind of put that together and how it benefits your business, you start recognizing and things that weren't working before and adjusting and making those new changes, and you become stronger in how you're communicating your message and developing sales. But I think the biggest thing is what had Brandy had touched on is the actual what are you doing, working smarter, not harder. I hear that all the time. People say I'm busy, but it's identifying what are you doing with your time, from prospecting to, you know, servicing your clients to, you know, getting the opportunity to close those sales, and to work that plan day in and day out. That consistency continues to drive the numbers up, and it's been certainly beneficial for me and our sales team, and certainly Vince has gone through it as well. And it's a phenomenal product. It's a phenomenal service, and the companies that are in the classrooms, you kind of come together as an alumni, and certainly you can reach out to those that may provide some different insights or out-of-the-box kind of thinking, and the one-on-one coaching has been certainly beneficial for me in my transition into director of membership.
Was there one thing, Vince or Matt, that you remember from the training that, you know, gosh, how come I didn't realize that at first, and you maybe use it every day?
I would say just shut your mouth and listen.
And quit updating Facebook every few minutes.
You know, it's in sales, everybody wants to talk about the features and benefits, but I think when you can sit down and ask a question and listen and then start understanding what the prospect or client is saying and then be able to continue that all the way through, you pick up a lot of things watching their mannerisms, how they're responding to a question or not responding to a question, and utilizing that to certainly discover the pains or the challenges that they're facing with a company. And we use it every day at the chamber for us.
I want to say one thing. You know, this is going to be the third year that we're starting Sandler Training in 2013. And, you know, as a sales manager, being able to measure results is very, very important to me. And we certainly would not be continuing with this training module if we had not seen results. The chamber is enjoying one of its greatest years since 2006 over here. And I think a lot of that is because of what Sandler Training has done for us. And in particular, Al Simon and Brandy Swanson over there, they have grown our people. And, you know, they've gone from order takers to order getters. And, you know, Matt had mentioned it, you know, before, you know, there is a huge difference between working hard and working smart. And I believe our people now understand the value of the, you know, 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock time and how they're going to spend that time within the office and, you know, not go ahead and take a meeting across town that's going to take 4 hours out of your day over there and make sure that you have two or three appointments over there when you do that. And I think all that is taught. We think we know that until we get an appointment and we're like, we just got to go. We got an appointment, it's across town. Well, 4 hours of your time, you know, across town is not going to be helpful. But if you're in the office and you can bring people into our office to allow them to see who we are, what we do, and what we have to offer, I think that has been so advantageous. And we're so thankful to have the relationship mm-hmm. with Sandler.
You know, and I think one more thing, just I don't think I touched on it, but being a new sales manager, you know, there's a lot of obstacles you have to overcome and be able to have that coaching session. But to know that your sales team and the sales manager have gone through the same training makes the communication just so much better, and understanding what's not working or be able to quickly identify where they've got off track on their cookbook or how they're spending their time. And so when you're looking at that, we have sales meetings and we're doing that and developing our month, we can automatically go through and understand what we're doing and how we're going to do that and be on that same common ground and not talking from different levels of, you know, simple and smart. And it's been wonderful.
Well, Brandy, they mentioned that you can't be an order taker in this economy. You have to be an order getter. And we know that going out and finding business can often be a really difficult thing for a lot of people. So for you guys, how are you going to market with maybe your own business? And we'll just kind of see how you guys use your own training and methods here. But, you know, we hear from executives all the time, we need products, we need services, we need training, but we're so busy, we're swamped. I mean, we'll probably have George here in a minute talk about how that happens at his company. How do you guys go to market and get people to give you 5 minutes of time so that you can explain to them the benefits of how they can grow their business, the same thing that you're going to teach them how to do?
Well, I think a lot of that's your mindset. I mean, what I offer really does help other business owners. And with that mindset going into it, I feel like I'm doing you a favor by coming out and talking to you and seeing what your needs are. So everybody has to, I guess, call it go fishing. You got to go fishing. You got to make sure you're fishing in the right ponds and doing the right activities. So focusing in on that, it's different for me than it is for different businesses. So, you know, a CPA might not fish in the same pond that I would. So we also teach our clients how to develop strategic partnerships. You know, who makes a good partnership for you? Who do you have the same client base with that you would have your ears open for them? So I'm not sure if that answers the question that you were looking for, but it's going out, networking, looking for that, making your cold calls. A lot of people don't like to make cold calls. But sometimes those are the things you have to do to get that word out there and to let people know, hey, we're here.
Okay, so let's just be clear here. So cold calling is not dead.
Cold calling is not dead.
You heard it right here on Gwinnett Business Radio. Cold calling is not dead.
But we don't have to like it.
We don't have to like it.
You don't have to like it, but you have to do it.
It's a mindset, though. I mean, I don't know many people that like to cold call, but if you're in the right frame of mind, it's a numbers game. Sales is numbers. You guys know that at the chamber. If you're in the right mindset to at least make the calls, then you'll get some sales.
Absolutely.
Well, Brandy, you made a good point, though, about the right pond, too. Because if you're cold calling in the wrong pond, then it's going to be an exercise in frustration.
Right. Yeah, if your typical business is architects and engineers and you're calling on CPAs, you're really wasting your time. So making sure, you know, for me, I want to talk to the business owner or the sales manager when I'm making my calls. I don't want to talk to the administrative assistant. So making sure that I've got the right people and the right pond and the people that would use our services is important.
All right, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and you may not want to give me this on the air, but do you have a gatekeeper tip?
Yeah, but you probably won't like it.
That's okay. Entertain me.
You know, a lot of times, and trying different things I think is important too, but I typically, when I get a gatekeeper, you know, basically say, you know, this is Brandy. I think it's important that we speak. And sometimes they'll let me through and sometimes they won't. It really just depends on the gatekeeper. I know yesterday I was calling someone. I noticed they were in the chairman's club at the chamber. And I called and the gatekeeper says, now, who are you with? And I said, Sandler Training. But we're both chairman club members at the chamber. And I just wanted to introduce myself. And got right through and spent 30 minutes on the phone with that person.
We love to hear that.
That sounds like a great plug for Chairman's Club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still cold call on a consistent basis, and it's you know, we know what on the other line of the phone what they're doing. They're certainly trying to keep away people who are, trying to get in there right away and sell this product and services. But it's how you handle them and keeping the control on your end and understanding, you know, when to leave a message, when not to leave a message, you know, finding out and kind of create a relationship with that gatekeeper and saying, you know, when would you expect him back? Or if he's in a meeting, how long do you think I'm happy to hold? Because they're just going to say, oh, well, you can leave a message. But if you try to get yourself out of that voicemail box and say, you know, I can hold, or is there a time, create that relationship with her, you can call back right away. And it's worked for me, and that's what Sandler's really helped us, is getting to the C-levels and the decision makers, but create, you know, not sounding the same as every other salesperson. I don't want to put every salesperson in a box, but it's having that different way of approaching your sales.
So, Brandy, if somebody's out there with a struggling business or just feels like their sales need a little bit of a kickstart, or maybe they need some help managing their sales team, how would they reach out and find out if Sandler's the right organization to help them?
Well, they can reach us, of course, via phone, 770-622-7000. Or check out our website, Google Sandler Simon Inc., and our contact information's there as well.
All right, Brandy, thank you so much for joining us today. I still have so many questions about cold calling. I mean, you know, do you leave a message, or no one ever calls you back? I mean, you guys know that they just don't call you back. Even though you're the chamber, you think they'd call you back. But we'll leave that. Maybe we'll have to come on another time, and we'll get more into details about some of the strategies.
That's what we did. Let's bring her back and do live cold calls on the air.
That would be fun.
That would be entertaining.
We're set up for it.
I love it.
All right. But we don't want to give away all the secrets, of course, because then no one's going to call you and say, I need your business. But maybe we'll have you come back, and we'll talk about some of that kind of stuff.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Brandy, thank you so much. All right, Taylor Construction, also in the house with us today. George Lewis is the president of Taylor Construction. And if you're in Gwinnett County or anywhere in Atlanta, you've probably heard of them. You've probably seen the TV commercials. They're one of Atlanta's largest and most well-known home remodeling companies. They have skilled, specialized technicians. They're fully certified. They perform quality installations. And not only do they install quality, but a lot of energy efficient saving things to help the homeowner save money. George, thank you for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
Tell us a little bit about Taylor Construction and the history. I understand there's a long history behind this company. Where did it start? How long have you been around?
Well, we've been around for over 43 years. It's kind of funny that you asked it the way you ask it, but I'll start off this way. You can tell by my southern accent, I'm not from New Jersey. But coming from Augusta, Georgia, Jim Felton, James Felton, same person, I started working for him 35 years ago, and we started Southern Industries, which is a great big umbrella. And underneath that subchapter S umbrella, we have Taylor Construction Company that we came up here, I did in 1999. And to follow up with that is Bob Taylor, who founded Taylor Construction Company, and we bought the company from. He was the only person that I know of in the United States that was ever nominated for a Nobel Prize as far as construction. So he didn't win it, but he got nominated for a time study of why certain people do certain things at certain times all over the world. So he asked us to purchase this company because he wrote a book and retired, and and Mr. Felton came to me and said, George, you always want to go to Atlanta. This is something you'd like to do. I said, well, let's talk. So I ended up coming up here, and we took over, and we've had a great fun ride with it. And now our belief is customer service. You know, we've got over 60,000 customers and 45,000 homes. So what does that tell you here in Atlanta? That 25% of our business is coming from additional added-on business. And that's because I listened to this lady and these other two gentlemen talk here today, which was wonderful. You know, good Lord gave us two ears and one mouth, so we need to be listening to what the homeowner has to say. And following up and following through is big for us, because Southern Industries is headquarters, as I said, in Augusta, and then we have another company called Gutter Guard, which is we have one in Greenville, South Carolina, and Birmingham, Alabama, one here as well. So we bought that franchise to take over there too. So again, it's about giving service, and whatever the customer says, you got to pay attention to what they want. And as far as training and listening to these people talk, that's something we do consistently and constantly, is train our guys to know more about the products, follow up and follow through, go out and see your customers, cold calling, and getting back with your customer.
It almost sounds like you do it all. If I'm a homeowner, I mean, I need to put an addition to my house. I need to fix my gutters, you mentioned, or windows. Is there anything that you don't do, or pretty much anything that a homeowner would want to do to, you know, improve their home, you can do it?
No. We're not a smorgasbord company.
Okay.
What we do is, I'll name them real quick for you and expand on some, but vinyl replacement windows, because it doesn't need maintenance, energy-efficient replacement windows. The vinyl siding, then we have the gutter guard, which is the seamless reservoir in the topper, roofing repairs. We have one-day bath remodeling. Then we got into all doing walk-in tubs, because in America there's 10,000 people a day turning age 65, and you're looking at one of them right here.
10,000 people a day?
A day. So more and more people need to have a way to take care of themselves, clean themselves, and it's embarrassing to some of the older folks, I should say. And then we have a E-Shield product, which we decided that Mr. Felton and I, that there's so much going on with energy. Energy's gone up over 13% a year for the past, 10 years. That's 130%. So as the utilities continuously climb, we decided we had to do something to change that up. So what we're doing now is going out and giving a free energy audit. So we do a 15-point inspection, everything from getting up in the attic to measuring the depth of the insulation to see if it's up to code, So looking at your ridge vent to see if you're letting the heat escape to give more longevity to the life of the shingle, to even looking at your hot water heater to make sure the temperature is set right, wrapping it with a hot water blanket if you want us to, or you can go down to your local box stores and do it yourself, and just giving them a guide and seeing what we can do to help earn the business in addition to a couple other products we do. And then we started a service department because Mr. Felton said that, you know, so many companies, 96% of people who enter into our industry, unfortunately, are bankrupt after 2 years. So when that many people go under, that means what happens to the people who bought from them? And that simply is to say that they have no one to take care of their service or their products. So we opened up a service department which we'll come out and evaluate what the problems are and see what we can do to step in and help them if we can, to guide them in the right direction and help service them and earn their business if we can as well.
So, George, you think about energy efficiency. I mean, we hear a lot of talk about that, and everybody's wanting to conserve energy and save money. For a typical home, if they get this energy audit or they make some changes like getting the vinyl windows or, you know, what putting the extra insulation in, what is the typical, return on investment? So I spend money to make my home more efficient. What's kind of my break-even point? Does it take a year to recoup my cost, and then I'm on the saving side, 3 years? Any idea? Is there an average?
Well, it depends on the product. As far as windows concerned, I'd say your ratio, depending on if you did all, replaced all your windows, you know, and sometimes people can't afford to do that, you know, because you might have 25 or 26 plus windows in your home. I was talking about playing golf, and I was up at Bear's Best, and I was on one golf hole. I forget the hole number in case y'all played it, but I was looking on the back of a person's house, and I had 43 windows. That's on the back.
Just on the back.
So I said, oh, boy, I sure love to have that job. But, you know.
That was your house, Andy, wasn't it?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
was.
I saw him aiming golf balls at the window. He was trying to get the business. No need to cold call. Just hit a ball through somebody's window. Oh, it looks like you need a replacement. I happen to have a window company.
Need a little shank. But, no, we'll do five windows at a time. But if you replace, to answer your question, all your windows, you're going to get your return on investment hopefully in a period of 7 up to 10 years.
Okay.
And that's the answer. And when it comes to the energy audit, people don't realize that 42% plus of your energy bill, is going out your attic. But your attic is not attractive. So when we look at our homes, we'll look at windows, we'll look at doors, we'll look at other parts of a house, but we don't think about the attic. But when you get up in there and say, wow, I didn't realize that much energy is I'm losing it from my air sealants, because when somebody puts a vent pipe, you know, for your heater or air conditioning, it's not even sealed. It's just a hole cut in your ceiling. So we seal that for you. And then we do things like with the e-shield, which is a reflector, it's a radiant barrier. There's lots of them out there. So just make sure the public understands you have to choose the right one. And to say something along with lines that we're very proud of is we're one of the 13 pilot companies in the United States that Walmart chose us, and we have a store inside Walmart's now. Walmart is starting to get into the home improvement business. So here's a billion-dollar company that chose us, Southern Industries. So we have one in Atlanta, which is on Chastain Meadows Parkway in Marietta. It's almost 600 square feet in there. It's right next to the customer service area when you go in the store. And we got the bathtubs, we've got the energy shield, we've got the Thermal Industries replacement windows, and all-side siding, and all the products in there that you could ever dream of and look at. We also have a store in Greenville, South Carolina, Augusta, Georgia, and Columbia, South Carolina. And we have more that we want to open. This is just a pilot test program. So to say that a billion-dollar company chose the products, set the prices, chose us to represent them, we feel real good about that.
Have you seen the housing market change the way people are spending money on home improvement? I mean, I guess the traditional thought process is in a declining market, you don't spend money because you're not going to recoup it. But the flip side of that is because the market's down, people are staying in their home longer, so they might as well fix it up and enjoy it the way they want it. Have you seen that impact your business?
Yes, because when it comes to buying homes, your mortgage companies are now looking to say, okay, here's the price of your home, and this ties in with energy. what is the average utility cost going to be along with that home? So people didn't realize, and everybody says, everybody should own a home. Well, we'd like for everybody to own a home. Being a former Marine from Vietnam, I want everybody to have a home. It's a free country. However, everybody can't afford a home. So whatever home you have, if the home you have is sufficient, it just needs updating. That's what you need to do instead of, you know, going to buy another one, so to speak. So they are now including the utility bills, to get to my point, into the price of your monthly mortgage. And that's taken into account of what you can afford to pay. So, yes, more and more people are staying at home and they need to fix it up.
George, you mentioned earlier that a lot of companies in your industry don't stick around very long. They go out of business. You've been around a long time. You have a track record. What else sets you apart from your competitors that are in the same industry?
Well, I think it goes back to the CEO and founder of Southern Industries, Jim Felton, myself, and all the other managers. And we have Jamie White over here with me with the Internet service. And the bottom line is, it's just high-quality customer service. You know, when people call and they want someone out, what they want to do, which y'all was talking about earlier, is communicate. Pick up the phone, talk to them, set a time, let them know that you received the call, help them out, set a date. Do what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it. And it pays, like I said, 60,000 customers and 45,000 homes. So that says you're doing something right. You just got to communicate.
I mentioned earlier that a lot of folks have heard about Taylor Construction. You've seen the TV commercials. And me, with my family, I bring them to Gwinnett Braves games or Georgia Force or Gwinnett Gladiators, and you guys have a booth there and a table there. You're very active in the community. It looks like you do a lot of grassroots marketing. Is that seem to be working for you?
Absolutely. You know, and I hope that I won't be saying anything out of line since we're on the radio. But this is, you know, I give a lot of credit for Bob Taylor choosing Neil Bortz. I mean, he started off, I'll be honest with you, coming from Augusta, I didn't even know who Neil Bortz was when I came up here.
Now you can't forget him.
Now I know he is. But he's the guru, and he's, you know, he's kind of set the standard for helping people understand who we are and market us, because we've done so much work on his house before, you know, he moved down to Florida, fixing to retire. So that helped us, and then we've expanded ourselves to other types of marketing, like you said, going to show events and fanfares, and then we have Jamie White, who joined us, and we're real big into the Internet now, and you can go to our website at www.taylorconstructioncompany.com, and so whatever you like, go to the landing page, and it'll bring you right to us where we can help you out and get you a quote.
What's next up for Taylor Construction? What are your goals?
Well, our goals is to be profitable. But, you know, in order to do that, you got to have customers and repeated customers. So we just added on the new walk-in tubs. So that, as I said, when you've got 10,000 people a day turning age 65, that's a huge market right now. The energy efficiency with the radiant burial and people wanting and needing to save money is another huge market. So we just added those products on. So we want to perfect what we do before we try to expand to do others.
And I like the fact that you're staying ahead of the curve. You understand the importance of the Internet, and with Jamie on board now. And, of course, here we are on Internet radio as well, that this really is the future.
That is the future.
We appreciate you coming by. If folks want to reach out to Taylor Construction, you mentioned, I think, the website earlier, but is that the best way to reach out?
Well, you can always call a phone at 770.
The old-fashioned way.
587-3454 and give us a call. But other than that, go to the website and make it easy for yourself, and we'll be glad to help you any way we can.
All right. George Lewis, the president of Taylor Construction. George, thanks so much for joining us today.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having us.
From Sandler Training by Simon Incorporated, Brandy Swanson, the executive vice president. Is there anything else we need to talk about regarding your company, or...
We got
it all in?
I'd like to probe her about one. And in fact, I'd like to bring everybody in on this, because I think it'd be a great topic. I know that George mentioned it, and Brandy, this is part of what you guys do. And of course, any experience with the chamber is going to revolve around this. And that's this term customer service. You know, everybody's thinking sales, 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 but sometimes it's about servicing the customers you have. It's easier to sell to a customer you already have than to go out and find new business. What is key, and maybe you can talk again about your individual companies, to providing quality customer service to retain the clients that you already have?
Since I spoke last, I'm curious to hear what Brandy has to say and the others have to say towards that, and I'll be glad to come back at the end if you like.
Floor is yours.
I'll start.
I think it's a surprise that Vince would start.
Yeah. Well, I think communication, effective communication, and let me speak on George's behalf for one moment here. I met Taylor Construction 10 years ago at a Swanee Day event, and those folks were so good. They have worked with my wife. They've call up on the phone. They check in with us to see if we're ready to start a project and so forth, because we're pretty close to having to replace windows in our house. We got a 15-year-old home. But I think the non-pushy approach, too, has been very, very good with Taylor Construction over there. But the way that the chamber, when we talk about retention and retaining our members over here, it's constant communication. And Matt can speak to this. I am very big on this, is making sure we're calling our customers, communicating, emailing our customers, our members, I'm sorry, and being able to tell them what the upcoming events are. We haven't seen you lately. We'd love to see you. We invite them to an event over there at the chamber. And I think that's the starting point over there. But you also have to be able to create quality events, or you have to have a quality training module, or you have to have a quality product like Taylor Construction over there in order for people to want to come back to you.
Brandy?
Well, it's interesting that you asked that question, because before I came here, I was at a Gwinnett Chamber event that the Ritz-Carlton was putting on specifically about customer service. And one of my key takeaways from there was it's platinum service, which means that you give the customer what they want, not what you want them to have. And so being aware and communicating and helping people understand what they want, I think is key to good customer service.
Yeah, you know, and I'm going to plug, since you mentioned the Ritz-Carlton, I really want to plug those guys for a second. If you've never been to a Ritz-Carlton, go sometime and just visit the people there that work there. It's fascinating how dialed in they are to what's going on. It's not just people that have a job and they're getting paid hourly. They truly have a value, a mission, a training, and they see themselves as part of the company. It was interesting, from Business Radio X, we were down at the Ritz-Carlton downtown, and we had a conversation with the doorman. You know, and you would think this is just a guy who gets paid hourly, you know, opens and closes the door. And as we started asking questions about what it was like to work for the company, he pulls this little folded up piece of paper out of his pocket, and he goes, "These are the 15 value statements of our company." He goes, "And every day we try to put one of them into practice." He goes, "Today we're doing number 7. And he pulls it out and he shows it to us. It was the most impressive thing I have seen, from seeing how everyone at every level of an organization was engaged in the customer service experience. Brandy, do you find that that's critically important? And do you guys teach that customer service happens at every level?
Absolutely. And we actually have a strategic customer care program, because one of the things that we do is you've got your salespeople doing the selling. Well, they need to know that when they sell something that their customers are going to be taken care of. And Matt touched on this earlier about everybody speaking the same language. And with that, of putting your customer care people in there as well as your salespeople in there, you are speaking the same language. You are learning to communicate with those customers. You are learning how to read them and how to understand what their needs are, not what your needs are.
And to piggyback on what you're talking about, too, as far as customer service at all levels, words are so powerful, because if you go to Chick-fil-A, you can see how well they're trained. You go through the drive-thru, they don't ask, what do you want? They say, "How may I serve you?" Mm-hmm. And so you can see they're well-trained there. Same thing if you go to the QTs. When you walk in, you can't walk into any QT without them saying, "Hey, how you doing?" You know, you're greeted every single time. George, customer service for Taylor Construction.
Well, it's, you know, you was talking about the Ritz-Carlton, and I was just fixing to say Chick-fil-A, because I feel that as big as they are, they have great training. You think about those young kids, young ladies, people, men and women there. Awesome. They do an awesome job. And so we try to do the same thing. And some of the things that we all can do here at this table is, without helping the customer, without knowing the customer, send an email blast out. You know, let them know what we do once a month without overdoing it. Sometimes I get so many emails, I'm like, good gosh, I mean, how many are you going to send me? But once a month or once a quarter, you know, that gets out to the public to let them know what's available for them. And as far as the training goes, we just constantly, we have three sales meetings and training sessions a week from our production department right on down to sales. So it's all about customer service, listening to the homeowner, making sure they're happy, and then we're going to get results.
All right. George, Brandy, Matt, Vince, thank you, all of you, for showing up today for our first edition of Gwinnett Business Radio. I think we could just talk forever. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate you coming along.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Andy, did I do okay? Did I survive? Did I not embarrass myself too bad?
Well, I think you did very well. You know, like I said, I was just trying to keep up, you know. And you got to get this whole stage set. But, you know, before we leave today, I got to ask you, we've had these guys tied up here and in the rain and in the weather, and now it's election day. So are you going to get out and vote, or do you get in on early voting, or do you have a line to stand in?
Well, I thought you might ask me who I'm voting for. Yes, of course I'll be voting later today.
I won't make you reveal that secret. I'll just let that be your choice.
Yes. So everybody, if you're out there listening right now live, it is voting. Get out there and vote if you haven't done so already. Thanks for that public service announcement, Andy.
I try to do my part to serve the community.
All right. Andy Lowe, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been Gwinnett Business Radio. Again, we broadcast live every Tuesday and Thursday from Office Suites Plus here on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth. We hope you'll join us every Tuesday and Thursday live. But this show, of course, will air several times throughout the day, not only on the Gwinnett station, but on our other Radio Business X or Business Radio X stations throughout Atlanta. My name is Mike Salmon, and we'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.